And notice what it says here. It says about the very first verse. I believe this is the first word of inspired scripture written. Because Job lived before Moses, and Moses wrote Genesis. Remember that. So long before Genesis was written, the book of Job was written, because he lived a number of years before Moses, maybe 500 years before Moses. And the first word of inspired scripture, very important to see it. There was a man who was blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. There's something we learned there. When God wanted to write a book for man, the scriptures, the Bible, he doesn't begin with how he created the world. That can come 500 years later when Moses writes Genesis. He begins with a man. A man is more important to God than all this universe. How this universe was created is unimportant. So many people keep arguing about it. And I say, that's unimportant. I'm not going to waste my time even talking about it. I don't want to prove to people that God created this universe, because the Bible doesn't give any proof. It just says God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you just say that. That's the first verse in Genesis. But much before that, 500 years before that, God begins to write scripture, and he writes about a man. So remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, that one man or one woman is far more important to God than this whole universe. That's what I learned from here. Not just any man, but a man who feared God, who reverenced God, and who turned away from evil. When God could find a man like that who is upright, who will not allow the devil or human beings to bend him, to compromise. Are you like that? A man or a woman whom nobody can bend to compromise on the principles of scripture, but was willing to be unpopular, but will stand erect. That's how God wants us to be. So I'm challenged by this, that this is what God looks for. And he was not a single man like a monk living all by himself. He was a family man. It says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a large family. Many people think that if you're all alone, then you don't have a wife to trouble you, and you don't have any children to bother you, and you can be all alone in some monastery and you can be holy. Nonsense. A lot of people who live in monasteries live in terrible sin that we don't even know about. And the other thing we see here is that he was a very rich man. In fact, it says he was the richest man of the East in verse 3. Now, you know, verse 2, it says about his children, and some people think you're a family man. As I said, it's difficult to be godly. The verse 3, it says here, he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. In those days, a man's wealth was not evaluated in terms of money, what he had a bank account. There weren't any banks. It's evaluated in terms of his possessions and his cattle especially. And so this is a description of his wealth. He was a multimillionaire. And he had many, many servants, another indication of a very wealthy man. And it says here he was the greatest of all men in the East, which means he was the wealthiest man in the East. And that's the other thing I want to say. A lot of people think that if you are wealthy, you cannot be spiritual. And God writes a book, the very first book of scripture, to show that the most godly man at that time was also the wealthiest man. Abraham was wealthy too. He had many servants. It says about Abraham, he had 318 servants. So these are things that we need to get out of our head. Can a family man with many children be godly? Sure. Can a man who's very wealthy, probably the richest man in town, be godly? Yes. And here is what the Bible says about that in the very first page of written scripture. And it says here something about the way Job brought up his family. That's the first thing I want you to see in verse 4 and 5. There were days when, you know, his children were all living in their own homes. They were grown up. Job was an elderly man, over 100 years old. And his children had their days of feasting whenever they celebrated their birthdays. And then Job would think about it. Say, my children, he didn't go to those feasts necessarily. The children were meeting on their own. And it says here, Job thought about it after their feasting was over, and he says, perhaps, notice this, Job 1:5, perhaps, I don't know for sure, Job 1 verse 5, the last part, my sons may have sinned, not openly, they may have cursed God in their hearts. See the concern that this man of God has for his family. Perhaps, I'm not sure, I don't have any evidence that my children have gone and done something terribly evil, but what are they thinking in their hearts? If you're a father or a mother, I want to ask you, do you have a concern like this for your children? Perhaps they've slipped up. They were in a situation where they could have been tempted. Perhaps they slipped up. Or do you defend your children so much that you say, no, 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 my children will never make a mistake. I've seen Christian parents like that whose children go astray because they never have this, perhaps my children have sinned. Keep that attitude always, my brothers and sisters. We need to preserve our children and bring them up for the glory of God, but don't assume that they are perfect. They've got a flesh which they inherited from you, which is corrupt. Nothing good dwells in it, as it says in Romans 7:18. Now, Job didn't have all that understanding. He had no scripture, but he was still convicted in his conscience that perhaps, just like I know, Job says, I know how I'm tempted. So much I know how much I was tempted when I was a young man. So now my children are young people and perhaps they are tempted. And I know how I sinned when I was young in my thought life and all that. Perhaps they have also sinned in their hearts. Notice this, not openly. Perhaps they have sinned in their hearts. What a challenge for new covenant Christians to be alert for their own children. So that's the first thing we see. He was a godly man. And so what did he do? He called them all together. And he would do this regularly. He would call them up. Rising up early in the morning, he would offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He would pray for them. Every time they had a feast or something early in the morning, he would offer prayers for them. A very good habit for all parents to do, to pray for their children every single day. Do you do that? Job, without a Bible, without fellowship, without anybody to challenge him, did it. Without anybody telling him, just without even having the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, just because of his knowledge of God. He said, family life is important. The testimony of my children is important. I want them to grow up godly, just like I've become, and I want to pray for them. He believed in prayer. You see, those days, the way they prayed was they offered burnt offerings and said, Lord, perhaps they have sinned. Please forgive them. Here's an offering for their sin. He was so concerned that the sins of his children in their hearts should be forgiven. Boy, I hope that challenges us as parents. Perhaps my son has had some bad thoughts in his heart. My daughter has had some bad inclinations. Perhaps they haven't forgiven somebody. Perhaps they are bitter against someone. Oh Lord, please forgive them. Please forgive them. In the name of Jesus, I believe you hear our prayer. If the people of Nineveh had heard what Jesus had spoken, they would have repented. If Job could experience all that we experience, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, knowing about the blood of Jesus, having the scriptures, fellowship, video messages, where would he have been? Way ahead of most of today's Christians, because he reverenced God.